Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The Lord Jesus has been talking about true and genuine happiness in the context of what we call the Beatitudes. And we are reminded that each of these Beatitudes, or aspects of true and spiritual happiness, they build on each other, as we've seen in the text. You are called to be poor in spirit, and you acknowledge within yourself that you are unable to provide that which is essential to make you right with God. And that poverty, according to Jesus, leads you to the kingdom. And you're called to mourn over your sin. And as you mourn over your sin, you are called happy or blessed in the midst of this mourning. And that brings comfort by the Spirit of God. Happiness is found in meekness. And the meekness that conversion brings. And those who are meek, those that have this spiritual meekness that is given by the Spirit of God, we are said to inherit the earth. And then last time, we looked at the happiness of being spiritually hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you hunger and thirst after the righteousness that Jesus Christ provides? And Jesus here in our text today tells us the result of those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is the result of that God-given hunger for the imputed righteousness of Christ, and that hunger for sanctification, and that hunger and thirst to be more like Jesus Christ? This morning we will see the result of that hunger. And Jesus tells us that result is that you will be satisfied, that you will receive this satisfaction as you hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that's a great promise this morning as we prepare to come to the table that is set before us. It's a great promise in one sense, because there's this perfectly built-in illustration with every person in this room. Because every person in this room has experienced some level of physical hunger or physical thirst. You know what that is like, to hunger or to thirst. And you know that when you hunger and thirst, that even the smallest portion of food is able to bring hunger to an end, or to satisfy hunger. Or when you are thirsty and when you're parched, even the smallest sip of water will refresh you. So you know something of the physical counterpart of this spiritual truth that Jesus Christ is giving us this morning. And here Jesus tells you as the church, that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you will be satisfied. And the satisfaction is not merely spiritual food. It is a feast. It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself who is the center of this satisfaction. Now, before we look at a few components of this satisfaction, I would like to begin with just defining the word. What does this mean when Jesus says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied. What does that word satisfied mean? The English word means to be contented or to be pleased or to be gratified. And the Greek word that is used here in Matthew 5, it comes from a noun meaning grass or hay. So the noun that this word comes from means grass, or it means hay. And this is a verb which originally meant, if you think about a farming community, meant to be filled with hay or to be filled with feed. It's the idea of the animal, the farm animal, getting enough to eat. The word came, though, to mean to be satisfied with food for people, and then eventually to be satisfied with anything related to food or to emotional needs or to physical needs or to economic needs. So to be filled or to be satisfied in abundance, to be contented and pleased with and gratified with what is given. So you see the greatness of this word. It's not just the morsel of bread, you coming before God and you say, Lord, I am spiritually hungry. And in a sense, He's just cutting off a little piece and providing you with just enough to get you by. The idea in the word is that you are fulfilled and that you are pleased and that you are gratified. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So how does this happen? How does this satisfaction happen? And we're going to begin with that question this morning, and we'll see that as our first heading, and we'll call this the God of satisfaction. The God of satisfaction. When one hungers or thirsts after righteousness, it is God Himself who satisfies this hunger. And how does God do this? Well, we know that He does it first off through His character. God is a God of satisfaction. He's a God that longs to satisfy the spiritual hunger of His children. We can think of the longing of parents to satisfy the physical needs of their children, and the difficulty and the struggle it would be for parents if they were unable to feed their children or unable to satisfy their children, even with the most basic of needs. If you ever read, you know, stories of war or times of great famine, and you hear of parents that are unable to provide these things, how devastating that is for parents to be unable to provide. It's something that is difficult and a struggle. And compassion would move mothers and fathers to do all that they could to feed their children and to supply their needs. Even as we think of things that aren't necessarily needs, we know that parents will say things like, you know, I would do anything to provide for my children. And here we have a heavenly Father who says that when His children have spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst, He is going to provide that for us. You can think of the psalmist that says that God is full of compassion towards His children. He's a God that is full of compassion towards those that seek Him, those that hunger and thirst for Him. He is full of tender mercy, and He pities His children as a father pities his children. This is our God. And he is a God of satisfaction because from his character, his desire is to provide for the needs of those that would seek him. One Puritan wrote, "When a poor sinner sees himself almost starved in his sin, as the prodigal among his husks, and begins to hunger and thirst after Christ, saying, 'There is bread enough to spare in my Father's house,' God will then, out of his infinite compassion, bring forth the fatted calf and refresh his soul with the delicacies and provisions of the gospel. Oh, the melting of God's heart toward the hungry sinner. My heart is turned within me," says Hosea. "My repentings are kindled." Friends, do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? God will satisfy. It is well within the character of God to provide abundantly through the gospel for the needs of all needy sinners that would come to him. Do you hunger today? Do you long to be satisfied? We know this God of satisfaction is also a God who satisfies through his word. As you hunger and you thirst after righteousness, it's not like you're just groping in the dark, just groping and hoping that God will meet you and that God will somehow satisfy your longings and your needs. Friends, we are not left in the dark. You are not left without knowing how to find all of the riches that are provided within Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if that were the case? That you know that within Christ are all the riches of wisdom and all the riches of God and all of the riches of being united to God and reunited to God, and yet you would have no way to find him. Friends, within his word, we are able to find him. God has given us his word, and it tells us how you can find satisfaction of soul in the God of satisfaction. Psalm 107 that we sang, it says, "Blessed are you that hunger now, for you will be filled." We are promised, even through the prophets, that as we come to him, we can buy without money and without price that which satisfies. Friends, all of that is found within Christ. God's word is a rich storehouse of spiritual food. And you are called to eat of that book, and you are called to drink deeply from those living waters that flow from that book, and you are called to be satisfied and to be filled with all of the spiritual riches and blessings that come from Jesus Christ. You know, dead men don't hunger. Dead women do not thirst. When God regenerates, which means to give life again, to give beginning again, he gives new life, and with that new life comes hunger and comes thirst. Elder Heising prayed for mothers who are with children, mothers who are carrying children within their womb. when those children are born, if hopefully everything is normal and fine, but when those children are born, they come out of the womb desiring to be filled with food and drink. They come naturally with that because they have life. Friends, when you are regenerated by the Spirit of God, you have the desire to eat and to be filled. And God gives us His Word. He calls it milk. He calls it meat. It is food for your soul. So God satisfies through this Word. And you can reach out through that Word and you can grab a hold of all that Jesus Christ provides. And that will give you that desire. That desire to walk in Him, and that desire to repent of sin, and that desire to constantly desire to be conformed to the image of Christ. And you think about that, and you walk back from that desire, and you say, well, Pastor Nathan, where does that hunger come from? And the answer is that God gives that hunger. When He regenerates a soul by His Spirit, He gives that hunger. Congregation, this is reason for worship, isn't it? As you sit here and as you think about all of these reasons to come before Christ and to give Him praise, if you have this desire and this hunger and this thirst after righteousness, even if it is so little, it is a reason to give praise. It is a reason for worship. But how does He do it? How does God satisfy through His Word? We see that in our second heading as we look at the means of satisfaction. The means of satisfaction. We've talked about the Word and how God gives us His Word as that which provides us with food. But we have to understand, even with the Word of God that is our food, that the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ is who stands at the center of that means. You see, there is no spiritual satisfaction apart from Jesus Christ. God does not satisfy your soul without Jesus Christ being the center and the heart and everything of that desire to be satisfied. You can go back to this illustration of physical food. You know, there's a lot of junk food that you could satisfy yourself with. And that junk food, it might make your belly feel full. And at the same time, you may know that it is not good for your body. And that soon you will be hungry again because there is no nutritional value there. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. Sometimes, because I'm a pastor, people come up to me and they'll ask questions that revolve around the Bible, and you know, maybe questions related to genealogies that we find in Scripture, or questions related to things that we could never have the answer to, or questions that are so peripheral to the Word of God. And then as you take that person to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's almost as if Jesus is not their interest at all within the Word of God. Friends, they're eating, and yet they'll never be satisfied. They're eating, and they'll never be full. And you can think about all of the things that are provided in maybe what we could call the spiritual buffet of junk food that is available in all types of directions. You can go in the city and you could find every type of spiritual desire satisfied in one way or another. You can go and you can find the psychics, or you can go down Colorado Boulevard and you can find the Chapel of the Jesus Ethic, or you can go to Hollywood and you can find the Scientologists, or you can go and you can find the different types of temples and areas that false religion provides. And all of this is a spiritual buffet of food that is of no value. It's worth nothing to your soul, because the Lord Jesus Christ and His work is not central. Your belly may feel full, but the food is killing you. We must understand that the means that God uses all center on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the satisfaction of the heart of sinners, of hungry sinners that are longing to be satisfied. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy that hunger. The securing of salvation and the reforming of the soul, it is the work of Christ. And friends, you are called to believe. You are called to trust. You are called to cling to this one that is the means of satisfaction. Charles Spurgeon, who in the Victorian era was called the Prince of Preachers, he wrote, "He who delights in the possession of the Lord Jesus has all that the heart can wish. As for created things, they are like shallow and deceitful brooks. They fail to supply our needs, much less our wishes. When Jesus is enjoyed, He puts a fullness into all other mercies. The creature without Christ is an empty thing, a lamp without oil, a bone without marrow. But when Christ is present, our cup runs over, and we eat bread to the full. A dinner of herbs, which is a salad, when we have communion with Him, is as great as is a rich feast as a stalled ox. And our narrow cot or bed is as noble as a mansion in the great house of the wealthy. Stay with Christ and eat that which is good, and delight yourself in fatness." Christ is the means of satisfaction. All of the spiritual hunger and all of the spiritual thirst that you bring is to be satisfied in Jesus Christ as the means that God provides. And friends, that's not something where we're called to just grope and hope for, because God Himself also gives us the grace to reach out by faith. 1 Corinthians 4:7 asks the question, "What do you have that you did not receive?" Friends, all of you here that are in Christ, and all of you here that have any sort of true spiritual knowledge, and any of you that have a relationship with God and life in the Spirit, and any of you that have had any progression in the faith and any sanctification, all of that is something that you have received from the hand of God by grace. It's not something that you have done on your own. God pours out grace upon grace to the hungry soul, and He provides you with that free pardon of sin as well as the power to live the Christian life. If you even have the desire to live the Christian life, It's not from you. It's from God. There is no hungering without grace. There is no satisfaction without grace. There is no sanctification without grace. God is calling you through grace and by grace to reach out and to grab a hold of all that is offered in the gospel. Our confession of faith talks about effectual calling, where God calls sinners through the preaching of the gospel, and it is from grace to grace. Listen to the paragraph. This is chapter 10, paragraph 2. This effectual call of God is of God's free and special grace, so from grace, not from anything that at all foreseen in man, who is altogether passive therein until being quickened, which is being made alive, and renewed by the Holy Spirit. He is thereby enabled to answer this call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it. You see, God says that His desire is that your spiritual hunger and thirst would be satisfied. And He says, here's the grace for you to reach out and to grab a hold on. And then from the other end, He enables you to grab a hold of that grace. Friends, this is a beautiful thing. We are satisfied in Christ. He is the means of this satisfaction. And God is comforting His children through this satisfaction. He comforts you so that your hunger and your thirst may be satisfied. Thomas Watson wrote, "God fills the hungry soul with bliss. Glory is a filling thing. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your image." Psalm 17. When a Christian awakes out of the sleep of death, then he shall be satisfied, having the glorious beams of God's image shining upon him. Then shall the soul be filled brimful. The glory of heaven is so sweet that the soul shall still thirst, yet so infinite that it shall be filled. They who drink of Thee, O Christ, being refreshed with sweet torrents, shall not continue to thirst, yet they shall thirst. Christ is the one who fills our thirst and satisfies our thirst. And Christ is the one that gives us that desire to continue to thirst after Him. Friends, how comforting is this? Do you have this hunger? Do you have this thirst? How comforting is it to know that God, through Christ and through His Word and through these means, will satisfy you with all good things, even as you look to eternity. And then when you get to eternity, it's not as if you're going to stand before God and say, "You know, I'm totally satisfied. Would you please stop pouring?" Because the pouring continues. And the satisfaction continues even into eternity. There's comfort for the believer in this.
Chapter 5.
In the midst of spiritual sufferings and struggles, in midst of the trials that make up this life, many of the things that you are experiencing now, many of the struggles of life that you are going through right now, God is promising to give satisfaction. He is promising to comfort your soul. He is promising to satisfy those longings through Jesus Christ. He will give you rich and sweet things through his Son. And by his grace, friends, we will not find satisfaction, essential satisfaction or eternal satisfaction in this world or in anything that this world has to offer. You think about that. And we know this is true experientially. When we receive something that we've longed for, how quickly does it fade? We long for something else. Or we say, you know, only if I had this, if only I could do this, then I would be satisfied. And then you do that, and then there's some new longing. Only in Christ will satisfaction be complete. John Calvin says this is a hard and bitter condition to endure, especially when we think of our own infirmities, for we are frail, so frail that even the most average of nothing fills us with despair. Let us learn, therefore, to trust in the certain hope that we will finally be filled and that God will supply everything that we lack. If today we are like those who are at death's door, devoid of strength and outside help, if today we are in the direst straits, let this hope support and sustain us as we look to God whose work is to satisfy the hunger. Friends, you came to this room this morning with baggage. You came with longings and with desires, and you came with hurts and bruises and bumps and cuts from this world. And if you long for the righteousness that Jesus here calls you to hunger and thirst for, know that that satisfaction can only be in Him. That satisfaction will only be supplied through Him. So what's left? As you hunger and thirst, and as you've been called to look to God who satisfies, and as you've been called to use those means by which He satisfies, the Word of God, and centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, what is left? It is a call. It is a call to satisfaction. And this call to satisfaction begins with a call for you to hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've said, God satisfies through Jesus Christ, and I would encourage each of you here to see Him for who He is, to see this Jesus that loves sinners, to see this Christ who did not turn away the hungry, but provided for them miraculously. And friends, your hunger, if it's this spiritual hunger that we're talking about today, it is not a hunger merely for salted fish and crusted breads. It is a hunger that has eternal consequences. It is a hunger, even a longing for eternity. For what do you hunger? Do you hunger for Christ and all that Christ offers? Are the excellencies of Christ enough to satisfy your soul? Jonathan Edwards, pleading with his congregation, he asks, by stating, in Christ is not only the infinite strength and infinite worthiness, but infinite condescension and love and mercy, as great as power and dignity. If you are a poor, distressed sinner whose heart is ready to sink for fear that God will never have mercy on you, you need not be afraid to go to Christ for fear that He is either unable or unwilling to help you. Here is a strong foundation, an inexhaustible treasure to answer all the necessities of your poor soul. Here is the infinite grace and gentleness to invite and embolden a poor, unworthy, fearful soul to come to it. If Christ accepts you, you need not fear, but that you will be safe, for He is a strong lion for your defense. And if you have come, you need not fear, but that you shall be accepted, for He is like a lamb to all that comes to Him and receives them with infinite grace and tenderness. It is true that He has awful majesty. He is the great God and infinite high above you. You need not hesitate one moment, but you may run to Him and cast yourself upon Him. For He will be gracious to accept you. Friends, this call for satisfaction, this call to have your hunger and your thirst satisfied, it is a call to run to Christ. Are you trusting Him? You can. The 81st Psalm talks about opening your mouth and being filled. It's a promise that even when you are so poor and so needy and so hungry and so weak and so unable even to lift your hands to your mouth, that God says, open your mouth and I will fill it. Are you in that place of weakness? That place where you can do nothing except stand like this. God promises to fill your mouth. It is a call to be truly satisfied. And again, friends, the buffet of soul-filling spiritual options is before us. There are many things that we as sinners attempt to satisfy that longing of the soul, whether it's money and wealth or sexual pleasure or material possessions or self-help programs or any type of pain-numbing medication, or whether it's entertainment like Netflix and video games or social media or experiences or vacations. All of these things that we attempt to satisfy the longings of our soul, they are all going to leave you lacking. All is vanity, says the preacher. You must find your satisfaction in the Word and through the means that the Word provides. And here you are called. You're called to be satisfied. John Piper said, if we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world that your soul is stuffed with small things and there is no room for the great. For when God is the supreme hunger of your heart, He will be supreme in everything. And when you are most satisfied in Him, He will be most glorified in you. You are called today to hunger and to thirst for righteousness. And friends, if you are in that place where you've found that so much that the world has to offer has left you empty, run to Christ. Come to the one who eternally satisfies. Find that satisfaction through hungering and thirsting for His righteousness. Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Amen.